Hi, it's 4 o'clock. I'd like to call this meeting to order, please, of the Savannah-Chatham Historic Site and Monument Commission. My name is Catherine Kostelnik, and I'm the chair. Our first order of business, I'm going to ask each member to introduce themselves briefly, just so you know our names. We have a new member, too, to introduce to the group. Kim, you want to start?
Kim Campbell.
Austin Rojas.
Eileen Baker.
Thank you all for being here. Did everyone have a chance to look at the April minutes?
And I'll make a motion to approve the April minutes.
Eileen, second.
All in favor of approving the April minutes, say aye.
Aye.
Austin, all those? Aye.
None. Okay. Minutes are approved. Okay, so let's turn to Kelly.
Afternoon, this is again Kelly. So the applicant is requesting approval for a monument application, part one, theme, location, and preliminary design to install a marker, a monument, in honor of the Junior League within the northwest corner of Oglethorpe Square, so just outside. So the applicant is proposing two designs. Both highlight the Junior League in Savannah. While two designs are being proposed, only one needs to be considered for part two of the application, and of course, only one will be installed. So both monuments highlight the work of the Junior League in Savannah, as well as highlight the work of the women in the community. The monuments are an attempt to inspire future generations, continue the legacy of community impact and advocacy. Overall, staff finds the theme and focus of the monuments to be appropriate and to meet the standards. The main point of discussion will be the design, the proposed monuments. Again, two are proposed. Only one needs to be approved. So the legacy arch, which is on my left, reads as an arch doorway whose design follows the various community efforts within the organization. The legacy lens, which is on my right, will be constructed of multiple parts that, again, reflect the work of the organization. The legacy arch will have a smaller footprint. I will only require a small kind of brick pad to stand on. Staff main concern was with the height of this one. It is reading up, is measuring at about 12 feet, 8.5 inches tall. So it's rather large. The legacy lens is shorter in height and only 7 feet tall. It's 7 feet wide for each individual portion of it. There are six total kind of story parts of it, again, 7 feet tall, 7 foot wide. The total area is about 21 foot, 6 inches, and will require kind of a sidewalk element to be constructed for it. Staff does find overall the arch to be more compatible because the footprint is much smaller than in the case of the legacy lens. And it will also require less alteration to the square itself. As you all likely know, the sidewalks for the square are rather symmetrical. So with the legacy lens out, it will require the new sidewalk, which will alter the symmetry of that square. So I did also include some 3D renderings. This is of the arch right here. And you have the lens right here as well. And then the two renderings side by side. And overall, staff does find that the arch is most compatible. With that, staff recommends that the Historic Site and Monument Commission recommend approval to City Council of Part 1 for the Legacy Arch. With that, does the Commission have any questions?
Do any Commission members have questions for Kelly?
Yeah, just sort of like a technical question. At this phase, we're not like approving necessarily like the plaques or anything like that. We don't have to concern necessarily with that. It's just sort of the overall design.
Overall, so like part two is more of the details. I believe there are a couple of things I mentioned that still need to be addressed.
Yeah. Okay.
That'll be part two.
Perfect. Thank you.
Any other questions for Kelly?
Yes, thanks. It's very interesting. Great proposal is laid out really well, I think, and you know, it's got a lot of themes to it, et cetera. But Where will this put this in coming to the Park and Tree Commission? Is it?
That you need to ask the applicant about that. I'm not sure if when it'll go up.
Okay, I didn't know who you said to ask.
Applicant. The applicant is here. They'll have more details about that.
Oh, okay. There will be more details about that? Yeah. Okay, good. Thank you.
Jonathan.
Thank you, Kelly, for the great presentation. So yes, so I know they've had some discussions with Park and Tree. When we first met with them, we talked about the importance of protecting the trees. So I'll let them speak for themselves. But I just wanted to note, these are very different designs than you normally see. We thought they were both very interesting. As Kelly noted, it wasn't necessarily that we thought the second proposal was inappropriate. It's just the scale of it for a square. As part of, just so you and the applicant understands, we went around to all the squares in Savannah to see if there was anything similar. There isn't. That's not necessarily a bad thing. This is, and I know there's been a lot of thought put into these two designs, but as Kelly noted, of the two, the gate or arch seemed the more appropriate. Again, we did have some concerns about the scale of it. We couldn't find anything else that was of a similar height. Again, that's not necessarily a bad thing, but we wanted to let you all, of course, make the decision. So with that, maybe we'll let the applicants, I know they have some models for you, I think, as well to show you.
Thank you. Any questions for Jonathan? Kim?
Remind us of the materials of both the two
proposals.
I believe they're both a form of metal. Again, it's a very specific type of forgetting right now, but again, the applicant can clarify.
Who is speaking on behalf of the applicant? Would you step up to the microphone and state your name, please?
Hi, my name is Ansley Howells, and I serve as the president of the Junior League of Savannah.
We're glad you're here, along with everyone else. Thank you for coming. We don't usually see a crowd at this particular commission meeting. So, is there anything you would like to add to what we've already read and seen?
Sure. I'd just love to give a little background context in this. So, as it mentions in the application, the Junior League of Savannah was founded in 1926. So we will be celebrating our centennial of the organization coming up this next year. And so as a portion of that, you know, this really pays homage to that and a much larger organization as well. The Association of Junior Leagues International is nearly 300 leagues in 5 different countries and 115,000 women strong. So it really is a homage to women leadership and legacy, and excited for that to be really the force behind the process. And so just to speak to a little bit of the process that they mentioned, when we started this, it really was something where we wanted to make sure we were accurately taking all the steps to do this correctly. So it started with meetings with Parks and Trees to make sure that, A, we were looking at a site that was the best fit for this. Of course, meeting with the MPC, and then obviously, as you can see, we've got some visitors here with their SCAD Serve t-shirts on. We collaborated with SCAD to actually bring this to life. So a lot of thought has gone into the process of looking at the league's history, looking at women's leadership, and wanting to make sure that this tells a very evergreen story of that. And it actually is positioned in Oglethorpe Square because the Owens Thomas House was the league's first headquarters. So also the connection of that was really something we sought after as well. So just wanted to give a little context into that, but happy to answer any questions as well.
Well, I'm afraid we're going to have lots of questions.
Sure. No worries.
And if you feel that you're not the one to answer the question, then maybe you can point us to the person in the room that should. I'm going to start since I'm the chair. Why not approach the Georgia Historical Society for what is basically acceptable or accepted in the squares in Savannah for a plaque to put in the square in front of the Owens Thomas House?
Sure. Meaning the wording on the plaques that go with this, or just no, a separate plaque versus a monument?
Well, in all the squares on Bay Street, we have the traditional Georgia Historical Society markers. Did you apply to the Georgia Historical Society for a marker?
We did not. When this initiative started, actually the Women's Suffrage National Monument Foundation is someone who came and presented to the Association of Junior Leagues International about their work that you all may be aware of in putting a monument in the National Mall that is an homage to women. Currently, there's not one. And so really having representation there, they came to the Associations of Junior Leagues International and really thought that AJLI was the footprint of what could kind of take that movement further into our local communities. And so that's why the intentional choice was made to look at a monument versus, you know, another opportunity to pay homage to this same cause.
Okay. Who else would like to ask questions? I have more, but I want to share the fun. Aline.
Yes. How did you go about deciding on the two finals?
Great question.
I mean, was there a competition or?
Sure. So when working with GADSERV and their Design for Good course, we presented them with the opportunity to help us design this and knew that they obviously had much more creative minds and just ability to put this together than myself or some of the other junior league leaders may have had. And so they came to us and built out a class full of students in all sorts of different backgrounds that really could speak from everything to architectural design to historical preservation to graphic design, all the different pieces, really building out a skill set that was strong. And it was led by Professor Scott Horner, who has a background in monuments and historic preservation and architecture. And so they presented with us, to us, probably 30 different designs to start looking at. And we began to narrow that down to about five. And then from there, continued to narrow that down. And really, the final decision was just made based on how well it was able to tell the evergreen story of both the Junior League, but also women's leadership in general. We wanted it to be something that wasn't, you know, a tribute to one person, but overall the concept.
Okay, thanks.
Of course.
Kim Campbell, I have two for you. First, can you speak to the materials of each one and why those were chosen specifically? And then I'll ask the other one after that.
Absolutely. So the one that is the frame, so I'll pull this back up. The one that's on the right, it is made of Corten steel, and that is really just due to the ability for that to be molded and shaped into those frames while also still being something that is durable and would do well in our environment. I will say the class was very intentional about looking at what the maintenance would look like of these materials, what it would look like to build that and it have longevity, what it would look like also to know, you know, that there would potentially be some, you know, people in and out of the square and potentially interactions with those monuments. So that one is made of Corten steel. The other one is made of wrought iron and granite.
I have a question and maybe you can answer this. I'm
sure.
Not sure. Are y'all aware that Corten steel is contraindicated in a humid climate? Also semi-tropical, subtropical, and tropical climates, which depending on what time of year it is in Savannah. So why was that particular process or metal chosen?
So that particular metal, it naturally does rust and is intended to do so in a lot of the monuments that are created by David Harbour, which is the artist who would do this monument in particular. And so that natural process was already taken into account with the monument itself and the material for the monument.
Are you familiar with the Omni in Atlanta? That was built in 1972. Anybody? It was built in 1972 out of Corten steel. Within 25 years, they had to tear it down because it did not weather the way it was intended to, like it will in the Northeast. For example, the U.S. Steel Building in Pittsburgh is made of Corten steel. And after 25 years of weathering, it finally turned a darker color. But as the metal weathered, it turned all the sidewalks around the building orange. And they waited for 25 years to clean those sidewalks. This is, you know, tell you my background on this in a minute.
Sure.
The Omni had to be torn down because it did not weather in a humid climate, and that was Atlanta. and big rust holes appeared in the side of the Omni, and they had to tear it down. I mean, you can literally walk through the rust holes. So my concern about the sculpture on the right, which is really rather beautiful, is the materials. I do not think that's appropriate. Also, you have to have good drainage for core tin steel. This is Savannah. We don't have good drainage. I don't care what part of town you live in. We have flooding issues. So that's sort of what turned me off of the core tin steel. If it was made out of a different material, perhaps I would be more of a fan. And also the scale. Any other comments?
Thank you for that feedback.
Yes, I do. That the one on the right, the steel one, is absolutely beautiful sculpture, I think, and it does everything you wanted to about meeting the themes and talking about women's league. The scale is just totally inappropriate for the square, in my opinion. The doorway is also very, very, beautiful and, interesting. Can it be scaled down potentially? It is very tall.
So the intention of the current scale is that the door itself, which does not open, is meant to be life-size. So it is intentionally, where it doesn't look like it's a mini door. It's intentionally built to look like it is a size where someone could physically walk through. That's definitely feedback that, you know, we can take back, and look into, but, that's the intention behind the current size of it.
Okay. Thank you.
One other question about the history. You mentioned that the Owens Thomas House was the first headquarters of the Junior League in Savannah. Where does the Junior League in Savannah fall in the greater history of the organization? Is it a first? Is it way later, et cetera?
Meaning which organization? The Association of Junior Leagues International? Or
yes.
Okay. Mm-hmm. Sure. So the Association of Junior Leagues International was founded in New York City, the first Junior League in 1901, and then the association was developed and built out in 1920. And then the Junior League of Savannah was founded in 1926. So a very early league in the overall story of the Junior Leagues. Yes.
Other questions?
Yeah.
Austin, I had sort of echoing what other folks, you know, we all, I think, like or love the second, the one on the right here, that design.
Sure.
And I guess I'm wondering, were there any other locations considered for a monument? Because, and just to kind of put it all out there, I'd hate for us to sort of decide on a monument perhaps that fits the square, but maybe isn't the most beautiful option we have available simply because we want to put it mm-hmm. here. So are there any other potential spaces that could work or could be looked at for maybe design two?
Sure. I'm sure that there probably are, you know, other spots that it could potentially go. When we approached and talked to the city through Parks and Trees, when we talked to the MPC, we brought this as an idea and said we were really open to potential other locations, obviously just understanding the initiatives of both those entities, the initiatives of the HSMC, obviously looking at too what we thought putting in front of city council made the most sense. And we received positive feedback on that, especially in the connection to the first location of headquarters. So we did not, you know, further explore some of those other potential locations just due to that.
Other questions? Eileen?
Yeah, I was curious about this, the artist, Hamber. I'm sorry, I'm going to miss. Oh,
David Harbour.
David Harbour. I looked at some of his other work, and it's very different than this. This is really, was he the designer of this? No.
No. So the class itself designed it. Our okay. junior designers from Savannah College of Art and Design, several of which, like I said, are here today. And so they did design it, but we have been in communication with David Harbour and with Ironworks America for the other to talk to them about physically building it out.
So those are just one fabricators in England and then the other fabricators in Memphis, I think, or no,
so
someplace.
The Ironworks company would be for the other design. So yes, but there have been discussions with both of them for what it would look like, pricing, you know, duration to build it out. Of course, just to know kind of all of the pieces of what that would look like to bring it to life.
Okay. But both designed by the artist of Savannah.
Yes, both designed by SCAD students.
So I have a question about the scale. This is just my personal opinion. They're both too big for that square. I could see this in a field. I could see this actually, you know, across the river. If you're set on sort of the design idea, would it be possible for you to look at alternative locations?
Mm-hmm. I mean, I think it would be possible to look at other locations. I think, you know, from a perspective of just the process we've taken to this point, because we looped in Parks and Trees and MPC so early, we were really hopeful we could avoid, you know, a problem like that coming up later in the process, ideally because we would love to be in the square. So I appreciate that feedback, and I hate that we weren't able to tailor that, you know, to part of the design earlier in the process as well. Just because I think, you know, now if there are other potential locations that, you know, are potentially mine, happy to look into that further. But I think just knowing kind of where we are in the process and how we have been able to tie the connection of Oglethorpe Square, we are hopeful to remain in Oglethorpe Square.
Other questions or comments? Thank you very much.
Thank you so much for the feedback.
I did just briefly, it's not, okay. Not necessarily for you, but where are we in this process, please? This will be a vote on one of these monuments. We'll do what?
So right now it's the... I'll speak on Austin. Right now we're approving the theme, location, and design right now. And so with that, just to kind of also get a little bit of clarification, we'd have to pick a design for this location at this time.
Can I just add too? I think, you know, when we looked at these two designs from the get-go, I'll be honest, I was so in love with the one on the right. But as we saw them further come to life, both with materials, both with how they would look and sit in the square, most of us have really shifted our thoughts onto the one on the left too, you know. So thinking through the timeline of us selecting a final design, we were really looking for feedback today from you all to be a part of that as we solidified that decision too.
Thank you very much.
Thank you.
Is there anyone present that would like to speak? I have a card with the name. I believe it's Wilfrida. When you get to the microphone, would you please state your name for the record?
My name is Wilfredo Chavez. I live right across the street. And I think what makes Havana one of the most beautiful cities is the squares. And I sit in the square maybe 10 hours out of the day, and I get enough compliments from people complimenting the canopies of the trees and the beautiful city of the squares. There's no other city in the States looks like Savannah. In my opinion, having a statue that scale, that big, takes the element of the square. And I think the perfect solution would be right in the parking lot on the SCAD building. It's a parking lot, and they can make look that door look like it belongs there. I think it's perfect solution for everyone. Have that door perfect. It looks like it's fake, but it looks like it's coming, but it's not opening. And that's the SCAD building, and it's very close to the square. Because putting anybody's monument on the squares, I think it takes an element of the history of Savannah. It's not enough that we have so many buildings tearing down and building another new ones. It's not going to look the same in 10 years from now, 20 years from now. And we're going to have to be kind of a picky to let people have, oh, I'd like to put another statue, whatever I want. I don't think it's fair. If it belongs to the historic, whatever happened in Savannah from the 1700s to the present time, I think it'll be okay because it belongs to Savannah. But I mean, I'm not going to be mean to people, but I don't think from other cities, other ideas come into Savannah and put any statue they want in here, in my opinion.
Thank you very much. Is there anyone else that would like to speak at the microphone? No one? Is there anyone online? So this is a question for staff. Are we compelled to pick between these two designs, or can we say we don't like either one of them? I'm just asking.
I say it's you can if you don't like either one. I guess you can just maybe deny it, or maybe come back and say redesign, whatever y'all feel is appropriate.
I just sort of echoing a little bit of what you said. Having been a member of Junior League myself, I know how very important junior leagues are in this country and the charitable works that they've done. However, to bypass what has been traditionally the process for a historic marker system that we already have in place in the squares to go totally in a different direction gives me pause, because I'm thinking about next year when we get a request from another civic organization that wants to put a 12-foot tall wheel in a square, or a 12-foot tall statue in a square, or a 12-foot tall tiger in a square. I'm just being facetious, but you know what I'm saying? I think the Oglethorpe plan precedes all of these organizations, and the squares were meant to be green space as we have embraced them in modern times. And those on the commission know that I am loath to put another sign in Johnson Square, because it is riddled with benches and signs and such that we are cluttering a lot of the downtown space. I personally would like to see, to begin with, at least go through the Georgia Historic Society marker process. That's just my personal opinion.
Just quickly about the process question, you can agree with staff and recommend approval. You could deny the part one application, or you could continue the application. But I think for the applicant, applicants, it would be very helpful to provide some clear direction. I mean, if you all feel this is just, you know, you love these designs, but I think Mr. Tate and the chair, you know, if they were somewhere else, they would work. But if I think it'd be helpful for the applicants to know the two that are right here in front of you, and we thank the applicants for, you know, we don't normally get these, having the models. Can these work in Ogle, in the square, or can they not? Because if they can't, I think we need to be upfront. We don't want to continue it and just say, oh, tweak it a little bit and come back. If basically what you're saying is, these are very nice and they're really interesting ideas, just not in this, in any square, and not this square specifically.
Austin here. I'm going to just do some thinking out loud in front of everybody. Just so I can, just to see where everybody else is. So personally, I want to say both designs are really well done. And so when I'm going to say that I like another design more, it's not to say that another design is bad, but I do really love what's been done with that, the legacy lens design. And I think that would be great to see in Savannah. So what I would kind of want to lean maybe towards is, of course, taking what Catherine said with the materials used, continuing with, you know, looking at, you know, design number two, or the legacy lens with different materials in a different location, just because I wouldn't want to just approve the arch because it better matches Oglethorpe Square so that we can have this in Oglethorpe Square. I would prefer to see the most interesting, the best design we have to add and truly enhance what Savannah has. So that's sort of where my mind is. If there's just simply no other locations that make sense for Junior League and their history, and, you know, it's gotta be Oglethorpe Square, you know, then I'd be looking at, okay, is there any way to make the arch smaller, perhaps? And would that make folks more apt to approve it? So those are sort of the questions I'm juggling in my mind right now.
The lens, which is a great piece of work, Railroad Museum, maybe somewhere, that big space out there.
Eileen, do you have any comments? Or
no, I agree with you. You know, I have a, you know, it's kind of like we're making this decision, us right here, and, you know, I don't really see the public having been involved in the design or the wants, and it's really a public square. So that's where I have a little hard time.
Kim Campbell, I see too, I mean, both of these designs are out of scale with the context. So in terms of the design guidelines, we've both too large and too tall. And yeah, I think both would need, either one would need some work. I would lean towards, if the location in Oglethorpe Square is approved today, then the arch would seem the most appropriate in terms of materials and compatibility, but is still very much out of scale. With the surrounding, you're just looking out the window, thinking about the walls and everything that surrounds. And so I would reiterate that comment that staff made in terms of that. I too see, the commissioner's concern about if one civic organization gets a monument, why not another one? And that is certainly a concern that of over memorialization there. And is important, you know, I think, two, I feel I'm ultimately leaning towards considering all locations. It sounds like only one location was really considered, which I fully understand. But that there could be some benefit to thinking about other locations, which might change the design.
Mm-hmm. I was struck, excuse me, this is Catherine. I was struck by both designs, but like the others, I don't want to pick a default one because of the things I mentioned with the core tin steel. Well, if we're not going to pick that one, we have to pick the other. We really don't. And I think I hear consensus that both of them are too large for the square. Mm-hmm. That's what I'm hearing from the commission.
That's agreed.
Eileen?
Agree.
Okay. So it's consensus up here that both in their current design are too large for the square.
We'd like the applicant to speak. She has a couple comments.
Okay. Go ahead.
Thank you. Would love to just provide a little bit of additional context to that. I know there was some concern shared about the usability of the square sill and the tree canopy. With both designs, there is no removal of the trees whatsoever. So just want to make sure that that is very clear. Also, if you look at the walkability of that quadrant of the square, the walkability and the pathing of that square will not change whatsoever again. And that was very intentionally done in the design as well. With both, though, if you actually look out at the square right now and have walked that portion of the square, that area is actually not usable to walk on, to sit on, to have a picnic on, none of that currently because of the greenery that is in that space. And so actually, through this process, both designs, but especially the arch design, would be looking at how that would make that a little more usable too. So the landscaping of that space would be redone with grass or something that made it a little more usable and walkable. And so that, I think, you know, definitely is something I just want to provide context to Mr. Frieda's feedback as well. I think to, you know, share just some thoughts around your point of the organization and kind of setting precedence through that. We have all of our history at the Georgia Historical Society, excuse me. And so, do have a really great partnership with them in the past. It was not meant at all to, you know, sidestep certain processes and just want to make sure that is shared. It really was wanting to make sure that we are, following in the steps of what this initiative is overall and taking those, appropriate steps. It's not just about the Junior League. It's really about the messaging that it's sharing of women's leadership in general and women's representation. And so wanting to make sure that when we have tourists, when we have locals, when we have people here in our community, that they're seeing something that represents women here. And, you know, we do have some monuments that do that, but really the initiative behind the entire process of this is the women's leadership and women's legacy too, in addition to celebrating that through the Junior League Centennial.
We appreciate your additional comments.
Thank you.
Just because there's nothing in the square currently doesn't mean we have to put something there that the scale of which none of us seem to care for, either one of them. Would you like to make a comment?
Just very quickly. I know that some, because I do listen to these in my office. Sure. I've got multiple things going, but.
And thanks to you for coming.
No problem. Melanie Wilson, Secretary Director. One of the things that one of you mentioned, and I just want to reiterate, if you've got something of this size and scale that is going to go into, or anything that's going to go into a public square, having the opportunity for the public to comment is crucial. They need to have some time to look at it. There was a previous project that did not get vetted, it's probably a good way to put it, by the public, and it basically didn't go anywhere. So just a suggestion, or just to kind of let you know and let the applicant know, you know, having an opportunity for the public to give some feedback, to take what you all have said into consideration with regards to materials and to ask the question, is this the place for it to go, or is there another place for it to go? That's for them to decide because they're making the investment. But I do know that because it's being proposed to go in a public square, you're really going to need to have a lot of public input for this if it's going to move forward. So thank you for hearing me out on this, but I just wanted to make sure that you knew, because there's been too many projects that did not do that and they did not move forward.
Sir, you need to step back up to the microphone and restate your name.
I have an additional information about the squares in the city of Savannah that I forgot. I don't know if you are aware that it was laid by the Freemasons. And on these squares, all the squares got symbols. This one is a circle, and that's part of it. And thinking about it, it will not look symmetrical. The only way they could look symmetrical is in the middle of the square, because all the squares got symbols, if you are aware of that. This one, it has a circle. It has three benches, 30, 30, 30. That makes 90. And then you go on that southwest corner, southeast, you got three benches. You got three benches over here, and you can see three benches, and that means 90. The houses in York Street, they're 30 by 90. The ones in Overthorpe, they're 30 by 90. The Owens Thomas house is 90 by 150. If you are aware, we have two buildings, one street, two buildings, one square for north and south. That's symmetrical. East to west, they're 90 by 150, and that's two buildings. This is one of them. So you got two buildings, one square, two buildings, one square from east to west. So that's another thing I forgot to tell you guys. Savannah is very historic, and I have a picture that I can show you, the Owens Thomas house at night. I live across the street. It took me 37 years to figure it out. You have the obelisk of a Washington Monument in the entrance of the house. You got the triangle. The light comes out. You got the sun and the moon, and I can show it to you.
That's okay. Thank
you. See it? It's incredible. And all the city has meanings in each square.
Yes.
For the Freemasons. I don't know if they're aware of it. And bringing a statue that big, it takes the symmetric part of it, and it makes the historic part of it. I mean, if you look at it, if you walk downtown, look at every single square, and you find out which one are the meanings and the key and the clues. It's all hidden. I've been walking, and I've been loving it because I haven't found out all of them. But if you want to see it, I'll show you the picture. It's incredible. The Owens Thomas house.
Thank
it
you.
Blew my mind, and I got the goosebumps when I figured it out. And that's a lot of people not aware of it.
Thank you for your additional comments. Does anyone need to see
the picture?
I would
like to share it to you.
I don't think so.
If you don't mind.
No. That's okay.
You don't want to see it?
Thank you. Much pleasure. Yes, ma'am.
Thank you. Would I be able to just offer some feedback and ask two questions? Okay. I think, so one thing that we obviously have spent a lot of time in the square throughout this process, and one thing to point out is it already is not symmetrical because of the monument in the northeast corner. So there is an already existing structure in the northeast corner that can be seen in the square, and the benches are not actually placed where he just described them as well either. So, you know, definitely the intention of that I agree with, and we're aware of that, but some of that is already existing. I think the two questions I would love to pose to you all is, if this is not the scale you would like to see something, what is the exact scale to know and have tangible feedback to be able to go back with? And then I think secondly, you know, because we have worked so closely with several different entities throughout this process, including the MPC and the city, I think it's a little disappointing that this was not, you know, shared with us before, especially in regards to the public comment and that process wanting to be seen. And so, you know, would love to know from a procedural standpoint and application standpoint, why that's not a requirement or some of that feedback was not given prior to this point in the process.
Jonathan.
Thank you. So this is the public process. So the applicant has done everything they're supposed to do. They posted their placards in the square. They're appearing before you. If you were to approve this, this would then have to be, they'd have to come back for the part two, which would be public, there'd be public notice again. And then it would have to go to approval by the city council. So they've done everything correct. We did not tell them to have community meetings. They're not required to do that. The other folks that come before you don't do that. So this is the public process. So just to you, they've done everything right. I will say we were upfront with the applicants. We thought these were very interesting designs, but we said, I'm going to quote myself, they may love it, they may hate it. And we did have some concerns about scale. And that's what we encouraged, you know, they had put a lot of thought in this and they wanted to come before you, which is their, you know, right to do that. But they have followed the process. But again, you know, staff has made a recommendation. You obviously have expressed, I don't want to speak for you all, that you disagree and have some strong concerns, about, you know, this part one application. And so that's where we are.
Kim Campbell. I think at this point, I would like more information about potential other locations. This may ultimately be the best location, but I haven't heard any other options presented. So I think before I'd be prepared to approve a monument to a specific organization in one of the squares, I would want to hear what else was explored. So I am personally leaning towards continuing this part one application with the specifics of review of the location before we even get into the design specifics, because obviously if a new location is selected, then that would change the review of the design.
Is that a motion?
It can be if we're prepared to make that. I move that we continue the part one application on theme, location, and preliminary design for the creation of the Jonathan, preference on which one?
No.
Okay. They continue the application.
Just sorry to interrupt. Perfectly made motion there. I just wanted to just sort of echoing what Jonathan had mentioned.
Before you continue, we need either a second on the motion or let the motion die, and then you can
Randy
comment.
Tate seconds the motion.
Okay, now discussion.
Okay. Just wanting to provide some sort of just making sure that the feedback is clear before we vote on it. That, you know, I guess, again, to kind of stress that so many of the elements that are required, and like Jonathan had said, everything was done right. I think these are both great options in the abstract. And that really what we would want to see, I think, on this commission is a different location. Just because for me, I mean, I respect the work that's gone in to creating these designs, and I respect the artistry of them, and that it's not exactly an easy thing to just tell you to you know, shrink it down to 7 feet tall or make the panels not as wide, you know, you lose things in doing that. And so in wanting to preserve the artwork that was done, to preserve the message of these and not just approve something for the sake of it being in a particular location, I'd want to continue so that we can see other locations so that we can fully bring this design, you know, in the best place, in the best way possible, for everybody in Savannah to enjoy what this monument is about, which I think kind of lost in all of this is that there's not really disagreement that this isn't a worthwhile monument, that this isn't something that adds not just to the artistic look of Savannah, but its history as well, and capturing an important part of its history that really doesn't have a lot of monuments and memorializing. I think, you know, it was, we had just approved the Seven Sisters monument, and that's, you know, that's just one really that we have. So those are all important things that I want to make sure are conveyed before this meeting adjourns.
So Kim, can you amend your motion?
Yes, I'll amend my motion to continue it for 90 days.
Okay. Any other comments by commissioners?
That would be August 7th.
Eileen.
Yeah, I do have a question about your motion. Are you continuing it for this same square or new location? I thought I heard.
Continuance is to at least review other locations and present that information to the board. Perhaps this is the best location still, but it doesn't sound like other locations were explored in the process.
Okay.
Just with just a question with the 90 days, is there feedback that we can get from the applicant if they would need 90 days, if 30 or 60 might work?
So knowing a big piece of this is obviously wanting to be able to tie it into the Junior League of Savannah's centennial, which happens in January of 2026. We are in favor of a shorter continuance just to be able to make adjustments quickly. This process has really been something that we have given a great deal of time to and done intentionally, but also very, you know, just quickly within the framework that we were being able to be provided. So we would be in favor of a shorter continuance.
The 90 days gives you up to 90 days.
Yeah, yeah. I was just going to say the 90 days doesn't mean you can't come back for 90 days. If you're ready to come back,
I'm confused about her question.
If you're ready to come back, you can come back.
Thank you for clarifying that. Yeah.
Okay. So
thank you for clarifying that.
The motion is that we continue the application for 90 days or less, depending on how much time the Junior League needs.
Okay.
Is that correct? Is that everyone's understanding?
Correct. Up to 90 days.
Do I, Kelly, did you want to make a comment before we vote? Okay. All those in favor of the motion, say aye. Say
aye.
Your name and then say aye.
Austin, aye.
Kim, aye.
Randy, aye.
Eileen, aye.
The motion carries. I don't vote unless there's a tie. So thank you very much. Y'all obviously have put so much time and effort in this. And it's exciting to see something different. And I think, scale and location is what you're hearing. So Kelly, anything else?
No, ma'am. That's it. I'm not sure if we have any other applications minus this one, but we will let y'all know.
Okay, no other applications?
They're done for today. She's talking about
for next month. Sure. Yeah, sorry.
So, yeah, right. So just with that, how does that work? Like with the deadlines and things like that and having given them a continuance, if they wanted to show up as early as the June 3rd meeting,
we would need to know.
Yeah, right. Is that?
We will do our best to come meet them. I don't want to speak for them, but, you know, we want to move projects forward. If they're ready to come back.
Just to make sure we do this legally, because I don't want any drama, we got to give you a date certain. So that's why the August date was a date certain. What's the date before August? Bree's got the schedule. And we have deadlines. So it has to come in before the deadline because we still have to, in this case, we're going to want to advertise it. But I think that the one thing that the applicant really needs to understand is that if they are looking at it going in a public square, there needs to be robust public
discussion
and public discussion. It can't be a one and done type thing because that could create some problems for the elected officials who have to ultimately approve this. And as I said, I've seen too much stuff happen from this board up to the elected officials with people finding out that something's going to happen after you all have made a decision about it. So it really is crucial that there be an appropriate amount of time spent doing public engagement to let them know what is being proposed and to actively look at other potential sites. And if we as NPC can be of any help, then, you know, we've got a wonderful Sagis in GIS that can help with maybe looking at some other potential sites since we kind of have an idea about what they need in order to put something together, then I will offer and volunteer my staff to be able to do that to help them move this thing
along. Thank you very
along.
Much.
Thank you. I have a quick question. Good please. You said that in the past there had been an instance where there wasn't robust public input and something went in. What was that?
Well, it didn't. The project didn't happen. That's what I'm saying.
Because of public.
And I think that's the thing. I've been to too many meetings where either things get continued and they just die. A lot of stuff can happen after it leaves you because the elected officials have to make the final determination. And generally what will happen is somebody will get wind of it. And then you end up with a whole bunch of back and forth and a lot of discussion when some of it could have been eliminated if there was just a little time spent making sure the public had an idea about what's being proposed, showing a couple of different alternatives for materials, and different, you know, heights and different things so that they feel like they were engaged. Because if they don't, even if you were to approve it, it could get to city council and city council could say, we're not going to do that because there wasn't enough public input, and they could send it back to you to get more feedback. So I would rather that you guys do the right thing now and that the applicant realizes that we're trying to save them from headache as it moves forward by doing the right thing, by having enough time to get public input and to look at some other locations so that they can have an incredible project, which I know they want to have.
Lori, what would our next meeting date be?
June 5th. And then there's July 2nd. I'm sorry.
June 5th and July 10th are our next two meetings.
Okay. Can I just offer a statement of support in reference to that? So we actually have made all of City Council aware of the process when the design phase began with SCAD. They were invited to the unveiling. They were out of town at a conference. I've spoken to the mayor about it. Carol Bell is a junior league member. Dietrich, whose area this is aware of it. So I totally understand, to your point of that due diligence. We've met with the Telfair staff who manage the Owens Thomas House. We've met with the Historic Savannah Foundation. We've communicated with the Downtown Neighborhood Association. So I just want to offer some support of that. And to your point,
when it got out to the general public, minds were changed. And that's what I'm saying. Reach out to other people.
Sure.
The court. Reach out to the public.
So as a
gentleman, I'm sorry. This gentleman that came here is not a member of any of those.
Sure. And I
and he
absolutely
came to give his feedback. And he probably just happened to see it because he utilizes the park. So all I'm saying is that do the extra, because what ends up happening is that people, it's great that you contacted, I'm really glad to hear that, but people find out, then they start calling them up and saying, well, did you know this or did you know that? And you can end up with a whole different outcome. And I don't want that.
Sure, and I appreciate that.
It's a great, you know, I think it has to sit there. And a lot of great work has been done by these incredible students. Remember that?
So as a point of clarification.
Okay, so we've got a motion. A motion has been approved for a continuance. We look forward to hearing from staff as to when our next meeting is going to be. If there are no other items for the commissioners, we stand adjourned.